News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
The great government giveaway appears to be underway. The summer economic statement has been published, and in it, as it says in the front of the Indo this morning, post-pandemic boom to fund 4 years of budgetary tax cuts. And for more on this, I am joined by Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath. As Vincent just said there, Michael, something for everyone in the audience in this. It looks like we are going to be able to keep going and not turn off the money tap. Is that correct?
Good morning, Ciara, and thank you for having me on. This is a really important document because it sets out the overall macroeconomic and budgetary framework that we will now have to operate within out to 2025. And we have a number of core priorities here. One is to support the economic recovery, help businesses to survive, support people as they try to transition back to work, those that unfortunately lost their job during COVID. We are setting the public finances now on a pathway towards sustainability, which is really important as well. And when it comes to the allocation of budgetary decisions, the overall emphasis is on public expenditure, supporting public services, increasing the public capital investment programme. For example, we will spend about 50 billion euro over the next 4 years on housing, transport, climate action measures, other essential infrastructure projects. And there will be changes to the taxation system every year, because if you make no changes to the tax system every year, in effect, that means a real tax increase, because if you don't make changes to bans and credits over time, then as inflation takes hold, people actually end up paying a lot more tax. So we will be seeking to address that issue. But the overall emphasis, as you will see, is on public expenditure.
Yeah, and you mentioned it being sustainable, but is it sustainable? We're hearing that we're going into a period of growth post-pandemic. And normally in a period of growth, you'd want maybe some kind of counter cyclical measures. But you're talking about spending and spending during a period of growth. Is this not Charlie McCreevy type of economics?
No, it's quite moderate in overall terms. So public expenditure each year will grow by just over 5% on average out to 2025. On the current expenditure side, it will be less than that, and it will be higher on the capital expenditure side. So the emphasis is on investment in infrastructure, addressing the needs that are there, which I think everyone is very conscious of.
You don't see this as leading to a boom?
Well, we do predict a strong economic recovery, but that recovery will require support. It isn't going to happen just by itself. So when it comes to the temporary COVID-related expenditure, for example, we are committed to unwinding that. And the reduction in the budget deficit is going to be dependent on gradually and carefully unwinding that COVID expenditure. But it has to be done in a way that supports recovery, because if you withdraw supports too early for businesses, for example, through the wage subsidy scheme and so on, you will just result in more of them toppling over, and that's the very thing we're trying to
and
avoid.
You've mentioned spending on capital expenditure and borrowing for that, and maybe there is an argument for that. The ESRI have said that they'd like to see that happen for housing and things like that. But we also have a huge amount of current expenditure here. Also in the front of the papers, it's saying that although, in fairness to Fianna Fáil, that you were looking for additional spending on housing, Fine Gael insisting on tax cuts for welfare increases and other forms of current expenditure. I mean, the stuff like the health spend, which has gone up not just for the pandemic, but an ongoing increase in health spend of about 4 billion a year. Like, that's all current expenditure. Or we're borrowing just to pay the bills, not to actually invest in anything. Is there not a deep concern and a sort of a Jack Lynch kind of feel to all of this?
So by 2023, we will be borrowing for capital purposes only. We will be running a current budget surplus. And what you're seeing on the expenditure side is a recognition that there are certain pre-commitments that need to be funded, whether it be demographic changes in our population, public service pay, protecting existing levels of service, funding pre-commitments that are already made.
It
so there's
great.
A certain amount of expenditure increase already baked into the system that you must fund.
How are we going to fund the increase in current expenditure if the only borrowing we do is going to be spent on capital expenditure?
Well, that is by 2023. So
that's only two years away.
Yeah, the key driver of the reduction of the deficit is the unwinding of the COVID-related expenditure. expenditure. So this year, for example, that is
we have other current expenditure commitments. If we're talking about welfare cuts, if we're talking about welfare increases, rather, if we're talking about tax cuts, if we're talking about additional spends on things like health, those are current expenditures. We are committed there to spend extra. Where's that money going to come from? We're hearing from Pascal Donoghue earlier on in the week that we're going to owe $250 billion by the end of the year.
And the national debt is going to rise further from around $200 billion pre-COVID to around $280 billion by 2025. We believe in overall terms what we're setting out here is the right approach. It is balanced. It will support economic recovery. It is prioritising investment in our economy, and it does bring about the sustainability of the public finances by focusing on the deficit reduction. If you take, for example, that $15 billion of COVID spend this year and compare that to an overall deficit this year that would be around $20 billion, then you can see that the real issue here is the need to carefully over time
unwind that
expenditure.
That's the worry, is that we're saying, well, it's $20 billion of a deficit, but $15 billion is COVID. So now we're talking about running a $5 billion deficit if it's no big deal. We were talking about balancing the books 18 months ago, and now we're talking about it being okay to run billions by way of deficit. There is a concern about the spending, and I don't want to labour the point too much, but I sincerely hope you're right. Can I move on to something else,
sure,
Minister, to do with indoor dining? We've been discussing it on the programme this morning. I don't think anybody could deny that there have been mixed messages that have gone out to the public. The government, and I have some sympathy for the government on this, that you've tried to accommodate NPHET advice, you know, only the vaccinated allowed indoors. And I know that wasn't your preference initially. You've tried to say, well, we won't roll out antigen testing. NPHET don't like it, even though everybody else does. And you've tried to sort of take in and on board what they're saying, and you've come up with this plan. The opposition are eviscerating you over it. But there is mixed messages, because this is what you've suggested we do. And now NPHET have come out and said, well, that's fine. The government says you can do it, but don't bring your children indoors. Like, what are people to do when they hear the government say you're allowed to do this and the CMO say don't do it?
Well, I think parents will make up their own mind. I think that is the reality.
And is that okay? Will it be okay for people to go in with their children and that maybe a group of adults in the next table go, I don't want to sit next to children in here because Tony Hulan says they shouldn't be here?
Yes, government decides in conjunction with the Oireachtas what the laws are, and those are what will be implemented. We have carefully taken on board the advice of NPHET, and the key issue from NPHET's point of view was that the focus would be on people who are fully vaccinated and people who have recovered from COVID. But there's a reality as well. Families exist. Families want to take their children with them when they go out for a meal and so on. And we believe that that can be done in a safe way.
So you're saying it's okay, irrespective of what Tony Hulan says, because he's also said and has acknowledged that there's no plan currently to vaccinate children. And if children aren't allowed indoors and the summer is coming to an end fairly soon, basically what it looks to me like, if you extrapolate what he's saying maybe families can't eat indoors for the rest of the year until a vaccination programme for children is developed.
You know, we think that what we have identified here is a middle path. We believe that this is the right thing to do. If we were to do nothing, then we would not be in a position to get indoor hospitality open anytime soon. This is not the approach that we wanted to implement. I'll be very honest about that. It's not ideal. We can see the downsides, but the stark choice for government was implement this approach or don't open indoor hospitality at all for a number of months, or open it with no restrictions.
Okay.
And so we have identified what we think is a middle path. It's sensible. And ultimately, on the question of children, parents will make up their own mind and are well capable of doing so.
Lots of conversations about the Fianna Fáil party and the Fianna Fáil leadership over the last while. Micheál Martin himself has said that the greatest threat to Fianna Fáil is ourselves at a private meeting of the party. Is Fianna Fáil its own worst enemy?
Look, I mean, we had a very difficult by-election, and the result was clearly not one that would be acceptable to a party such as us. And we do need to examine the underlying reasons for that, and we will do that. But we'll do it in a calm and considered way. And so what the Taoiseach has agreed to now is that there will be a special meeting at the beginning of September where all of these issues will be debated, and members of the parliamentary party can speak freely and frankly and in a respectful way. And that will happen, I think, in what is the correct forum. And and I look forward very much to that debate and participating in it.
Do you believe that Micheál Martin will be the head of Fianna Fáil at the next general election?
I believe that if he wants to be the leader going into the next election, then he will be. I think he is doing an excellent job. The man could not be giving it any more. And, you know, I see up close every day the commitment that he is giving to the role and the office of Taoiseach. And I think he deserves the support of the parliamentary party and deserves the support of the general public. He's trying to lead the country through a global pandemic. I think he's doing a pretty good job. And, you know, I don't think the public are really consumed about internal Fianna Fáil issues. And I think we should deal with them privately, have open, honest, frank discussions. People can say what they want. And if they have alternative views, by all means, put them on the table. But, you know, there is a need for coherence as well. And I think the public want to see parties focusing on the issues that really matter to them.
Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, thank you for that indeed.
Thank you.